I'm so glad y'all are here this morning. Let's see. I think I have a text. I have an update this morning. I've got an update this morning from Lisa Covington. So, she says, give the class this update. I will be getting my second round of chemo this Thursday. Finished first round a little over 2 weeks ago with one setback. White blood count got too low and had to be hospitalized for a few days to get the blood count back up. Since then, I'm doing just fine. I'm just tired out throughout the day. Thanks for continued prayers as I have my second chemo infusion this Thursday. So write that down. Thursday, her second one. Debbie, how many is she going to have? I forgot.
Three for sure, maybe four.
Okay. She's going to have three or four rounds. And so I remember when Sissy had chemo, you know, she'd have it, and then it would just knock her out. Her counts would just go to zero. And you're just in a real vulnerable state when that happens. So, yes, it's time to start again. So she's got an amazing attitude. Group one is just landed in New Orleans from Ecuador. And group two, I think, left yesterday going. And then some are there for the whole 2 weeks. And I'm talking about Ecuador at Casa de Fe. So here's who's from our class. Kelly Calco, she was there last week. Leah Stewart left yesterday. Sarah Cannon left last week. She was in group one. I think Velma left today. Rachel Britt was in group one, and Connie. So all of those are representative in our class. So jot down, Casa de Fe. You want to pray for the group at Casa de Fe. They're traveling, they're everything over there. You've got to realize they're surrounded by volcanoes. And 1 year when I went, we got stuck in Miami because a volcano was erupting and we couldn't land in Ecuador. So that's a real possibility. Deanne Allgood is in our class. Do y'all know Deanne? That's Danita Hobbs' sister. Their mother, Delois McClellan, died last week. And I think she was in her 90s. And she just peacefully passed away. Her funeral was on Thursday. If you know Deanne, you might just want to reach out and touch Deanne. I'm trying to think. Erin wants us to pray for her mom. Her mom's got to have a colonoscopy this coming week. And that's not fun, but we all have to do these things, right? Does anybody need a handout? They're right here. Okay. Everybody got one? All right. Well, thanks to Babs for filling in for me last week. And we're doing kind of a series of lessons talking about the theology of spiritual conversations, how to have spiritual conversations. I'm going to add to that lesson this morning. I'm real excited about it. Let's pray as we jump in. And I'm sorry that you didn't get the message. I didn't either, that we were meeting here this morning. So you had to get your steps in trying to find us. Thank you for finding us. I think you're going to be glad you were here. I may need to close those doors, but maybe not. Okay. Let's pray as we start. Our Father, thank you for the blessing of studying your word together. And even though we're displaced this morning, and even though the acoustics aren't exactly right, I pray that you will give us attentive hearts this morning to hear what your word has to say to us. Father, we want to be women who are filled with your love and that it spills out in our speech. So this morning, speak to us. Speak to us through your word. Give us skills that we need. I thank you for every home represented, every lady here this morning, I just thank you, Father, for the sweet fellowship we have in our group. And I just ask you to speak very personally to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, by the way, Bible school starts a week from tomorrow. I'm going to be teaching the fives. This year I have a skeleton crew. If anybody is available that just wants to be a warm body and jump in, you don't have to plan anything. You don't have to just come help. Help with the crafts we've got planned or help with the mission group. That would be great. If anybody can come and jump in and be a warm body, I would love you for doing that. So, just wanted to mention that. By the way, Christmas is 7 months from today. And it will be here before we know it. Did y'all know that? And Catherine got married last Thursday in Babs's backyard. It was beautiful. And did y'all see the pictures? She's riding away, just married, on the golf cart. It is so cute. So, just to mention that. Now, last week's lesson, I just told Babs, we talked about the four mindsets for having spiritual conversations. Do you remember what those mindsets were? Look on your handout. The first one was anybody remember? Be curious. Remember that? Be curious. I want you to memorize these. Come on in, Susan. Yay! Glad you're here.
I just wanted every table.
That means you need to be here. Okay, so be curious. Okay, that's our first mindset as we come to biblical conversations. So what is the next one? Believe the best. Somebody said it. You remember. I want you to memorize these. They will be on the test. I promise you. Believe the best. As you come into your conversations with others, believe the best. Come with that mindset, okay? Then the next one. Do you remember? Show concern. Aaron, yay. I'm giving you extra points, Aaron. Show concern. And then the last one is share your life. Share. Be willing to share your life. Good. Now, I want to add to what I said in that very first lesson this morning, because why do we need to develop ourselves in this area anyway? What are conversations for in the first place? And that's our subject this morning. And I want to begin this morning by giving us three fresh goals for conversation. They're fresh. Why do I say fresh? I want you to think in a different way this morning. What exactly is it that we want our conversations, our talk, to lead others to? And so I think it's time, and I said this in our first lesson, how conversation is really struggling in our generation due to all the social media and the cell phones and the technology. People don't talk anymore. And so I think it's time for us to wake up. We want to develop this lost art of conversation. And so these fresh goals that I'm going to talk about with you this morning are going to be ways in which you can build closeness and warmth in your conversation. So let's jump in, and here's the very first one. Are you ready? So the very first fresh goal for our conversation is that close conversations, we want to have them in order to encourage. That's the word I want you to put down. I love how inexhaustible God's word is. I can come talk to you about any subject, take it to the Word of God, and it blooms like a beautiful flower. This lesson is going to help you this morning. Are you glad you're here? Let's go to Scripture, and I want to begin with 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And there Paul says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another. That's what your talk is supposed to be about. Encouragement. Building up each other. Think about it with me. Get a fresh vision of just how powerful your words are. Look at Proverbs 15:4, for example. Look what it says. Kind words bring what?
Life.
Life. But cruel words crush your spirit. You know that is true. And look at the next proverb out of Proverbs 18:21. It says there, death and life are in the power of the tongue. While sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Don't you believe it? Sticks and stones may be nicer than cruel words. Do you have words in your memory bank that crushed your heart? Do you have words in your memory bank that built you up? You've never forgot them. Go to 2 Corinthians 13:11. Paul gives us a goal there for us to shoot for. Let's see what we're to shoot for. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, he says. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And look what the writer of Hebrews says. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. When am I to encourage? Well, if it's today, that's when you're to do it. Every day. Let your words build up, strengthen, encourage. Did you know that God promises something special for those who encourage others? Look at it in Proverbs 11:25. It says there, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Good morning, Sandra. Glad you're here. Here's you a handout, in case you need it, to read the scriptures with us. I love that. If you're going to go out with the goal to refresh, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to get refreshed in return. That is so true. Now let me ask you a question. What if? Just what if you and I began to realize and see that our conversations are a way in which we refresh other people? It's a ministry. Our mouth is a ministry. We're refreshing people in the Lord. We're encouraging others. Now look, even Paul needed encouragement. Let me show you. Go to Philemon chapter 1, verse 20, and this is what Paul said there. I do wish, brother, as he's talking to Philemon, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Oh, refresh my heart in Christ. I'm coming to you, Philemon. I need refreshment, and you're just the person to give it. I mean, I just want to talk with you face to face. I want to be with you in your presence because you are so refreshing. Look what Paul writes in Romans 1. He says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That's what our conversation is to do. We're mutually encouraging one another. And listen to what he says about our conversations in 4, verse 29. Here Paul says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We need to put that verse right on our steering wheel, don't we? What if before I ever opened my mouth with other people, I were to consider, does what I am about to say help build up the one who's hearing me? And what exactly does it mean to refresh another person anyway? What kind of words are refreshing? What kind of words were used when people felt discouraged in the Bible? How did others encourage them? Well, they were reminded of the presence of God. They were reminded that God was working on their behalf. They were reminded that they were a unique person called by God. Let me give you some examples out of Scripture. Moses was about to die. He was at the very end of his ministry. And Joshua was going to be the one now. He was young. He was going to be the one. He was the chosen leader to take the nation of Israel. They were leaving the wilderness. They were going to enter and conquer the promised land. And Joshua was the man. And it was an overwhelming assignment for Joshua. Here were millions of people. Here was a whole land to be conquered. And so Moses says to him, look on your handout, out of Deuteronomy 31. Moses is going to encourage him. Listen to what Moses says. Moses says, "The Lord himself, Joshua, goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Boy, that's encouraging. And then the Lord himself encouraged Joshua. Look at Joshua 1:9 and see what God said to Joshua. God said, "Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." David had wanted to build a temple for God. There he was in his palace, and there God was in a tent. And he looked at that tent, and he said, "I'm going to build a temple for God." And God said, "Oh no, you are a man of bloodshed. You will not build my temple, but your son Solomon will build my temple." Have you ever heard of Solomon's temple? It was one of the wonders of the world. Do you remember how the Queen of Sheba came all the way to see the temple of Solomon's God? And so Solomon was given this great assignment, and David encouraged him in 1 Chronicles 28:20. Look at what David told him. "Be strong, Solomon, and courageous. And do the work. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished." And then there's Jesus. He's about to ascend and to go into heaven. And he encourages us by saying these words out of Matthew 28. Look on your handout. He says this, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I love the encouragement that comes from Psalm 46:1. Look at it. Let it speak to your heart this morning. Look what it says. God is our refuge and our strength, and he's an ever-present help in the day of trouble. Isn't that good news? These are words that you can use to encourage anyone. Now, I just wonder this morning, as you enter this room, is there a burden on your heart? Is there? There is on mine. Is there a discouragement in your heart? Think of a burden. Maybe it has to do with your health. Maybe it has to do with your children. Maybe it has to do with your work. Maybe it has to do with your relationships. I just want to encourage you this morning. Out of a verse from Psalm 68:19. Look at it there with me. "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior." And notice what God our Savior does. He daily bears our burdens. He offers to take our burdens. He offers to bear them for us. What an amazing encouragement this morning out of Scripture. And when we remind other people that God can carry their burdens, that offers them tremendous encouragement in overwhelming times. Now, another way to encourage people with your conversations is to point out to others their spiritual gifts, or to point out their strengths, or to point out their progress. I do this with my grandchildren. I think, now what can I say encouraging or positive in their life? Be specific. Paul did this when he wrote his letters to the churches. He would point out their faith and their love, and he would tell them how thankful he was for them. He complimented them for working hard. He made mention of the way they persevered in their faith. He pointed out their unique gifts. How encouraging is that when somebody does that in your life? Years ago, my children were young, and I've told you this story before, but I don't know if everybody's heard it, but it's just one that came to my mind. I can remember the very place I was standing in the hall, and I ran into Miss Winnie Smith. Her husband was Millard Smith. He had retired from the grocery store business. He had been hired by our church to be the church administrator. And he said, "Stop, Teresa, stop. I want to talk to you." And I really didn't know her that well. I mean, I knew her, but not, you know. She said, "I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you and Bill." She said, "I notice you. You're faithful. You're here. You're here on Wednesday nights. You're here on Sunday nights." That's when we had Sunday night church. You're here. And I'm just so impressed. And thank you for all you do. I see you working hard. And I just want to tell you, I've never forgotten those words. I've never forgotten those words. And it was just not a big thing. But you see, we don't realize your words are powerful. My words are powerful. Let's don't be stingy. Giving genuine, heartfelt blessings through our mouth to other people. Right? Now, let's write down three ways to offer encouragement and refreshment to others. Here's one idea. Remind people they are not alone. Someone comes to you. Maybe they have a burden. You say, "You're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. I'm here with you." What could you say to them? You could say, "God is for you. God will never leave you. And I'm not going anywhere either. You can call me. You can talk to me." Here's the second thing that I want you to write down. Refocus their heart on God's care for them. Now, if they are not Christians or religious in any way, you can just say, "Could I pray for you?" You could say, "Let's ask God to help us. Let me help you carry this burden." And then number three, compliment their strengths, their acts of service, and their spiritual gifts. You can say, "You know, I want you, just like Miss Winnie did to me. I notice things about you. You're excellent at this. You seem to have a special gift with that. You have a wonderful way with this. I love how you always do blank." Or, "Thank you for always whatever." Let's write down a second thing. What's number one? Fresh go? Encourage. Encourage. Say it with me. Encourage with your words, okay? Here's the second one. You want to have close conversations for the purpose, now here it is, personal growth. Personal growth. I put I didn't mention my first quote, did I? Go back to the first quote. I just went right over that because Margaret Wheatley is a building, a team community building expert. She's an educator, an author, and I loved what she said. If we can just sit together and talk about what is important to us, we begin to come alive. I know Brittany had unexpected company Thursday night, spend the night. She had a mom and four children say, "Hey, I'm going to stop and spend the night. How about that?" She said, "Well, we're having our graduation. It's okay. I'll just come on in." They ended up staying up really, really late and catching up. But just sitting there talking together, sharing their lives, it just builds closeness, doesn't it? Girls, we're good at this. We can stay up late and talk our heads off, right? We're good at that. But here's another quote that I want you to look at with me. And it's by a man whose name is James Clear. He's a young American author. He wrote a New York Times bestseller, and the name of it is Atomic Habits. It sold over 20 million copies in 60 languages. But here's the quote from him. He says this: friendship happens when you aim to learn or achieve something with others. It happens naturally during the shared pursuit. Now, I promise you, everyone who went on the mission trip this week, they're coming back close friends because they had a goal. They worked together to go to Ecuador. Everybody in my team at Bible school, we're going to grow really close this week, because or next week, because we're going to be getting together every day doing Bible school together. See, we've got a shared pursuit we're doing together. That just naturally builds friendship, community. Look with me at one of my very favorite verses, Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider, it says, how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. What if we used our conversations to help others become excited to know and serve Jesus better? After they've spent time with us, they feel refreshed and they feel like, well, I want to know the Lord better. I want to serve more. Paul certainly did this for those in Philippi. Look at what he said in Philippians 1:24-25. He said, yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. You know what? He said, I'm staying. I'm not leaving yet. I'm staying right here for your progress. I want you to grow. And if I'm here, you're going to grow. And it's also going to bring you joy in the spiritual journey. And then Paul describes his friend Timothy, who he's going to leave behind, as another friend who would be helping in their growth. Look what he says about Timothy in Philippians 2:20. He says, he is genuinely concerned for your welfare because everyone else just seeks after their own interests. But not Timothy. No, Timothy's not just about himself. He's about you. He's about others. That's what we want to be like. Now, what if, after this one lesson this morning, you know, I think one lesson can impact you. I really do. What if after this lesson, you began to have your eyes open to see that your presence in conversations with other people, they're a way of helping other people grow. They're a way of demonstrating genuine concern for how they're doing. Think about the people in your life that you like to talk to. Are there some people in your life you just love to be with? I mean, you look forward to being with them. And if you will think about it with me, they are the people who are inspiring you to achieve your goals. They are the people that are expressing concern about you and your life. They're interested in you. And you know what they do? They ask good questions when they're with you. They're supporting you in your dreams. What if you were that person to another, to someone else? Well, why not be that person? Now think about it with me this morning. And now that turns us to our third purpose. Purpose number one, fresh goal is to encourage. Purpose number two is what? Promote growth in other people. And here's purpose number three. And I love this one. I've not really ever thought about it. It was a new way of thinking to me, but it's this: to cause others to marvel. Write that down. This is something that I just love. It's something that's going to bring closeness in your conversation. It's the beautiful concept of marveling. Another word we could use is the word having awe. Another word we could use is worship. Awe involves marveling at something sacred, something that's vast, something that's supernatural. Maybe it's mysterious. It's something so beautiful you just feel overcome by the thing you're thinking about or you're experiencing. It's a powerful emotion. It's a state of wonderment. What if, just what if, our conversations helped another increase the capacity to marvel or to worship? Cultivating awe leads to a lot of things. It leads to kindness and patience and gratitude and happiness, increasing life satisfaction, creativity, and studies have even shown that feeling awe, marveling, even lowers inflammation in your body. I'm just throwing that one in. What if we decided in our conversations to take seriously the task of helping others experience awe? They would help us put our problems in perspective. They would help shift our attention away from ourselves and put it onto the outside world. What is awe, Teresa? Well, it's just as simple as taking time to smell the roses. I was out at our cabin because Sarah Sunday's boyfriend, Matthew, is going to be our church intern this summer. And so he needed a place to stay. We're going to let him stay at our cabin. Well, that cabin has been, teenage boys have been invading my cabin, and it was a mess. So I went out there to clean it up, get ready for Matthew. Well, it's made out of logs. It's a log cabin. And on the porch, there's sawdust everywhere. Guess what? You know what?
That's right.
Bumblebees have been boring holes all in. Do any of y'all have that problem at your house? This time of year, the bumblebees, they're boring holes into, and there's just sawdust everywhere. I just got to watching that bumblebee. It made me marvel. It's amazing. Who told them how to do that? Isn't it incredible? And then in front of my yard 3 years ago, I planted some hydrangeas. Now, I want you to look at the color of this hydrangea.
Did you put
some
water on it?
No, it's just got a little water on it. But have you ever seen a hydrangea this color?
Yeah.
It is so beautiful. And you know what? I counted them. I have 58 blooms.
Wow.
The first year, I didn't have very many. Second year, I had a few more. But this year, 58 blooms. And I just go out every day, and I look at my hydrangea. I walk around them. I count them. I just marvel at them. I do. They're so beautiful. I love that color. And then I look on Facebook, and there's Sanders posting a beautiful rainbow from yesterday. It just makes you marvel. Sunsets, the moon, sunrises. Just go out and feel the breeze. You ever just stop? I know this spring, my azaleas were absolutely stunning. I literally took a lawn chair and sat in my yard to marvel at the azaleas. I just moved. I had some on the side, so I'd go sit over there, look at them for a while. Then I'd sit in the front, watch the other ones, because they're so beautiful, and they're not going to last very long. And I was taking all kinds of pictures of them every day because I don't want to forget them. They're just a marvel to me. A marvel. Do you ever go out in the morning early and just intentionally listen to the birds sing? They're so noisy. They are so loud. Mississippi is full of birds. And then, you know, in my yard, I've got rabbits. I've got possums. I had a mother and her four baby raccoons at my front door. They're the cutest things you ever saw. I'm videoing them. And then I have deer. And I even have a fox that lives in my woods, and I've seen him. And I have lots of armadillos and lots of turtles. In it all, when we catch the presence of the divine activity of God in nature, it just makes you marvel. It really does. It makes you feel like I'm such a part of such a big picture here. It leads me to praise God. And then as we share this with each other about God's work in our ordinary lives, how he's answering our prayers. Do you have any love notes from God in your story where God just did things that was a direct love note from him, a direct answer to prayer? And then there's the mystery of just feeling the presence of God as you're in his word every day. And you're sharing that. It just helps us marvel together. It helps us survive in the midst of so much suffering that's all around us in the world. What if, just what if, you and I lived all inspired lives together? It would produce a closeness, a connectiveness. The Bible invites us to talk in a new way. Look quickly, I've got to hurry. At Colossians 3, I could talk all day about this. There it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. I just reflect on my own life, and you do this with yours. Think of all the people in your life who God has placed at just the right moment to speak the right word to you. A word of wisdom. Maybe it was a scripture. Think of the times you picked up your phone and there was that text. And it was such an answer to prayer. Or it's just what you needed to hear. It was just so timely. Look at Psalm 40:10. It encourages us to use our conversations to share God's activity. Look what it says. I speak of your faithfulness, the psalmist says, and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and faithfulness from the great assembly. What if you and I began to use our conversations to speak about God, to lead other people to a feeling of awe of how great he is, how personal he is, how powerful he is, how loving he really is? What if I took on a new personal mission to take my words to help other people who I talk to really marvel about how great God is? Now, I want these three fresh goals to inspire you this morning. What are they? Number one, encourage. Number two, promote growth. Number three, marvel. All, worship. Let these three goals challenge you. Well, there are some pitfalls I need to mention. I've just talked about what to do with your conversation. Now I'm going to tell you what not to do, okay? Let's talk about it for a minute. We have to hurry. The first thing, the first pitfall that we fall into with our mouth is this. Criticize it. Put it down. Here you are. You walk into a conversation and you start talking about everything in your life that is wrong. And you start talking about every person in your life that is wrong. You use your conversation with others to talk about, this offends me, this upsets me. It's what the Bible calls a critical spirit. I'm telling you this morning, ladies, we don't want to be that way. Here's number two, complaining. Now, I just want you to know, you don't have to teach yourself to complain. It just comes naturally, right? I walk in and immediately I start talking about how bad my day is going. I start complaining about work. I talk about my problems. Oh, I want to talk about all my issues with my health. And then there are all these problems in my family. Let me just tell you about them. There's no mention of gratitude. There's no mention of anything going right or well. But here's what the Bible commands us. Look at Philippians 2:14. Do everything without grumbling or complaining. Ouch. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in how many circumstances? All. Circle that word all. Good things, bad things. What if? Just what if, instead of taking my words and complaining, if I would believe in my heart, really and truly, God is sovereign, God is good, and God has the ability to take everything and work it together for my good. Is that true, ladies? What if I really believed that and my words reflected it? What if I learned to highlight what's going right? Not always pointing out what's going wrong. Well, here's another one. Write it down. Another pitfall, advice giving. Now, Teresa, what would that look like? Well, somebody comes and they start sharing with me something in their life, and I immediately, because I'm old and I'm experienced, I immediately know what they need to do. And I began to give them my advice because I know what's best for people. What if I waited until someone asked me expressly for my opinion or advice before I started jumping in, giving it to them? You see, when we're quick to give advice, it positions me in the place of a parent or in the place of a counselor rather than in the place of a friend. Just think about how you feel when you're with certain people in your life. Now, you know who I'm talking about because somebody's popping in your mind. There's this certain person in your life. They're always wanting to improve you. And they're always wanting to solve your problems. And they always want to tell you how they would do things differently than you did. Or they would do them better than you did. And do you have a warm connection with that person? You don't. Here's a better way. Learn in your conversations, now listen carefully, rather than giving advice so quickly, ask, that's interesting. What do you think you should do? And then listen. What do you think your choices are? And then listen. Is there any way I can support you? And then listen. Learn to wait until the other person asks you for your opinion before you give it. And when someone shares a personal problem, you might say, would you like my advice? Or you might say, do you like it when I ask questions to help you think of different options? Guess what? Everyone likes questions. It makes them feel smart. It makes them feel empowered. Let's add another pitfall. Self-absorption. And so what does this look like? Well, you're with a friend and you never get to say a word. They talk the whole time. It's more like a monologue. It's all about them. They focus on what they need. And all you have to do is go, yes. Oh, I see. That's interesting. Really? Oh, my. Is that so? You never get to express anything. And when they do stop talking and give you a minute, they cannot wait for you to shut up so they could jump back in and tell you more about their ideas. Self-absorption. Here's another one. Divisiveness. Write it down. And this is where a person will take a conversation and they'll use it to stir up controversy and draw the listener into conflict. They speak in terms of us versus them. They think it's their job. They've got to warn you about how bad other people are. And they have no interest in finding common ground with people who believe differently from them religiously or politically. Let's add another one. Here's a good one. Flattery. This consists of empty compliments to try to get people to like you. They'll say anything they don't believe. Let me show you what Proverbs says about flattery. In Proverbs 26:28, a flattering mouth works ruin. Here's another pitfall, manipulation.
you know what, I'm in my business and I've got a network. I'm all about making friends, especially if they have money or they have influence or they have prestige. I'm going to be all about working that network. And I'm networking for my own manipulation. Here's another one. Write it down. Codependence. This is where a person really likes being needed. They like solving other people's problems. They want their children, their husband, their friends, their co-workers to be indebted to them, to always need them. But here's the deal. In return, they expect others to always be there for them, make them feel better, solve their problems. That's not what loving conversations do. Loving conversations give people room. They let others grow. They build unity. They affirm. They don't use a person for their own advantage. Let's add one more. Gossip. Now, I love this quote. It's attributed to Eleanor Roosevelt. Look at it on your handout. I want you to remember this. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. Small minds discuss people. Conversations that we have that involve sharing private information about others, talking about the lives of other people, asking about other people's misfortunes so I can feel better about myself. I remember this little saying, if it's not your story, it's not your story to tell. I hate my own tendency to gossip. Do you struggle with this? Why is sharing juicy morsels of information about others such a tempting thing? Does that kind of conversation fill you with awe and wonder and make you marvel? No. What is better? We'll move on to talking about ideas. Find out ideas that others are thinking about. Let's add one more, arrogance. It's where you think more highly of yourself than you should. You're superior. Your education, your social status, your background, you think you're here to be served. You're bored by the interest and opinions of others because you want to talk about your own grandiose ideas. You think others owe you. But a humble person believes every person offers something of value. I thought I gave you 10, did I? Mm-hmm. Was that the last one? Okay. Now, don't put your stuff up. Look at those 10 pitfalls, okay? Don't anybody look at anybody's paper. Circle the ones that God today said to you, ouch, that one stepped on my toes. Circle the pitfall that stepped on your toes this morning. I want you to take a few seconds, do that right now. Nobody's going to look at your paper. It's just between you and God. I have to put down, this is what I put down, gossip, advice giving. Oh, I'm so good at giving advice. Codependence. If you're from a dysfunctional family, codependence is a big one with you. You want to be needed, and you want others to meet your needs. And then flattery. I want people to like me, don't you? So it's easy to just flatter, but you don't want to be a flatterer. Now listen, here's the deal. I'm not done yet, so don't turn me off. You and I can walk out of here this morning. I really believe this. And instead of using our old patterns in conversation, we can use the information that we've been given here this morning in three fresh goals for communication and to engage with other people in order to do what? Encourage, promote growth, and marvel, right? Imagine tomorrow as you're out, or even this afternoon, or even at lunch today,
and you're having a conversation with your friend, and when you get up to leave that conversation, she says to you, "I just want to thank you. I feel so encouraged because our conversation has made me feel closer to God. Well, I even feel full of wonder after talking with you. What a beautiful conversation that was. Can we get together again soon? I want to be with you more." What are the four mindsets? Same with me. Be curious. Believe the best. Show concern. Share. And what are the three goals? Encourage. Aid in growth. Promote growth. And marvel. And then there are those 10 pitfalls that you want to avoid. Amen. Now, look at me. Did you need this lesson this morning? Did this lesson help you?
Yes.
This lesson is so practical. And yet it's so biblical, isn't it? So let's go out and live this lesson, ladies. Let's go out and take our mouth and let's let our words be life-giving. Amen? Amen. Let's don't let our words crush. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for how practical your word is. May we be women who live these truths that we've learned about. We bless your name, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, see y'all next week. Don't forget, pray about Bible school. Bye, Holly.
Yes.